Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by. Welcome to Oneview Healthcare First Half 2018 Results Conference Call. At this time, all participants are in the listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Monday the 27th of August, 2018. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Mr. James Feder, Chief Executive Officer. Thank you, sir. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Desmond. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you might be joining from. Firstly, thanks for your interest in Oneview Healthcare. I appreciate many on the line are probably quite familiar with the company, but for those who are a little less familiar, I just wanted to remind you that our mission is to use consumer technologies to help demystify the healthcare experience for patients and their loved ones wherever they are in their journey. It's something that obviously is a purpose that we're very excited about and very motivated about. I think as we see our technology coming to life with patients and families around the world, it's a very rewarding journey. We've taken the liberty of just including in the appendices some background information on the product and our mission for those of you who are new to the company. Joining me here today, as usual, is Mark McCluskey, our President and Founder, and John Kelly, our Chief Financial Officer. We've taken the liberty of sharing the PowerPoint presentation, which has been released to the ASX this morning. I apologize, it appears that they have somehow truncated the page numbers, so hopefully you'll be able to follow where we're going as we're going to move through this. The first slide is just the first half of 2018 in review. We have reported total revenue for the half of 3.71 million euros, which is a 66% increase on the previous corresponding period. I would just note that it would have been materially higher if not for a very slight delay in the inaugural procurement of our Android hardware, which has landed just after the half year for our customers, both here in Australia and in the United States. That would have added a further 1.5 million to first half revenue. Unfortunately, this was due to some late-stage supply chain issues and was beyond our control. Most importantly, we're delighted to have added 13 new hospitals to our client list during the first half, including the nine facilities for the Mater in Brisbane, the very high-profile Bumrungrad opportunity in Bangkok, an expansion at Parkview for Mediclinic in the Middle East, and both the Benioff Children's Hospital at Oakland and UCSF Parnassus. Very positive developments on the inpatient side. We also had the formal launch of our senior living product in the United States, which we'll talk about. We're seeing a very positive response to that, which only took place during the month of May. Net cash at the end of June was 17.5 million euros. Our net cash burn for the month of June was 1.45 million, trending lower as our sites go live. We've also been very prudently managing our costs. We've seen a 16% reduction in our headcount from a year ago. We've also streamlined our management team in recent weeks, which we felt was a little bit too top-heavy for our stage of development. I think these are strong messages that we continue to focus on net burn. The next slide just talks to the operational highlights. As I think some of you are aware, we had our first two inpatient deployments of our new Android client in the United States at BJC in St. Louis and more recently at NYU in New York, which we'll talk about shortly. We were very pleased to complete the quality assurance testing of the new Android hardware. As I mentioned, the first 1,500 all-in-one bedside devices have been deployed to the Mater and BJC HealthCare, which is a very important development for us, obviously. We've talked in the past about lowering the cost of ownership as being a key driver of future business. Now that that hardware is in the field, I think we're going to see a very positive response to that. We continue to recruit patients and their families at Westmead Kids to Oneview Connect, where we have now over 5,000 families actively using the app. We are very excited to have seen both national and international accolades for the Connect application. It was a winner of one of only five global innovation awards from Microsoft at HIMSS this year, and was the runner-up in the Best Digital Transformation Project in New South Wales Health for Australian Healthcare Week. Very encouraging developments. And finally, we have built an HL7 version of our Prostate Pathways solution, which we'll talk a little about in a little bit more detail. I just wanted to highlight on slide 8 two important developments since the end of the half. Firstly, that we have last week agreed terms for a 5-year extension of our first US customer, which was the University of California, San Francisco's Mission Bay facility. This retains our 100% renewal track record and I think points to the stickiness of our contracts and our relationships. This effectively takes this from a 5-year to a 10-year contract, and we also during the half extended Chris O'Brien from a 3-year to a 9-year contract. So very important message. And we've also just been advised we have been selected as vendor of choice for a 400-bed facility in Queensland. We talked last time about the impact of MATA being such a high-profile facility in Queensland, and on the back of that, we have a strong sales leader in Queensland who has made some very significant inroads, and we have a very strong book of business in Queensland. Next slide is just addressing the leadership additions, which we flagged to the market last week, and I just wanted to talk through those briefly. Firstly, we were thrilled when Steve Lutz joined us in April this year as our sales director for Australia and New Zealand. Steve has 17 years of enterprise healthcare experience where he worked at Cerner Corporation. He's worked for them in the United States, the UK, in France, in Singapore, and has 6 years experience here in Australia. So brings a very global perspective of enterprise healthcare to the team. And since he's joined, we've seen a very material escalation in the level of conversation we're having with major healthcare providers here in the Australian market. And that's been a very welcome addition to the team. And Steve's just been promoted to the Managing Director of Australian business. And the second change was Mike Kaminsky, who we had the pleasure of meeting in March this year. Mike is a Chicago-based US healthcare executive who has enormous experience, most recently as the chief executive of Landauer Inc. We were really thrilled to bring Mike into the board. We have had some feedback from investors that our board is very financially focused and perhaps not as healthcare focused as it could be. And we think as we continue to expand in the US market, having someone with Mike's operational experience is going to be incredibly helpful to me as CEO, but to all of us on the board as we continue to negotiate enterprise healthcare in the United States. So rather than expand what is an already large board of directors, Will Vickers, who is our largest shareholder, has appointed Mike as his representative on the board, and Will will be stepping off the board. We'd like to thank Will for his incredible support over the last 5 years, which he is obviously continuing to support going forward. The next slide should be familiar to everyone. It's the key operating metrics where we highlight business that's in RFP, in contract negotiation, under contract, contracted not yet installed, and live and installed. And the most pleasing figure here is the growth in our live base, because obviously that triggers the revenue for us, and we've seen a 45% growth in live beds in the past 6 months. We're obviously very pleased to see that transition. You'll note the decline in the contract negotiation category, which reflects the movement of nearly 2,000 beds, being the MATA, Bumrungrad, Oakland Kids, and Parnassus, which have moved to the left into contracted not yet installed. And I would think, as I said earlier, that now that we have physical Android hardware in the market, we would expect to see an acceleration in our contract negotiations now that those devices are available. The next slide just highlights visually the inpatient rollout for the last 4 quarters, and I think this slide speaks for itself. But I also want to call out that in addition to the 45% growth in the past 6 months and the 74% growth from a year ago, we have expansion work going on with 6 of our existing customers. I think that's a continued testament to the value of our product and affirms that we have a very active delivery schedule plan for the next 12 months. And now that both the Android hardware and the Gen 3 product are live, these are going to be important milestones for future sales. I should also point out, as I think we have in the past, that we also see a very considerable growth opportunity amongst our existing US customers where we have 6,000 beds in their systems we are not yet contracted with. And obviously, as we continue to deploy and deliver ROI, we will be aggressively pursuing those conversations to expand our footprint. Following slide is just the broader pipeline update, which shows the level of bid activity for the first half of 2018, with 32 new bids submitted. That is nearly equivalent to all bids submitted in 2016 and represents a slight decline on the 2017 numbers. But we now have 48 open bids representing nearly 20,000 beds. And as mentioned previously, we do see the Android pricing, which has been extremely well received, accelerating the conversion rate going forward. And our win rate continues to hover around the 66%. So we are still winning two-thirds of the bids that are awarded. Next slide just talks to what was undoubtedly the biggest highlight for the first half, which was our go-live at the NYU Langone's Helen and Martin Kimmel Pavilion in Manhattan. This is a beautiful 21-story hospital that occupies two blocks on the East River between 34th and 36th Street. It's the first new kids hospital open in New York City in 15 years, and it is an incredibly sophisticated site. Notwithstanding, it's also our first Gen 3 site. It would probably be the most complex deployment we've done to date. And you can see in this imagery here on the bottom right-hand side, an image of the tablet mounted on the patient table, controlling what is a 75-inch television in each of the single rooms. That My Wall, as it's been branded by NYU, is obviously a very important part of the patient experience and something that has received very, very positive feedback since go live. So great to finally have a reference site in the largest city in the country. And I must say we have found NYU a very discerning customer and someone that we're very excited about a partnership going forward. Next slide just talks to our global footprint, a reminder of the geographical diversity of our business. And I think what this tells you is that patient experience is an international challenge, whether we're talking to hospitals here in Australia, in the Middle East, in the UK, in the United States. They all share common problems. And I think our solution has demonstrated that it can solve a universal problem in very diverse corners of the world. We remain focused exclusively on the United States, Australia, and the UK in terms of our priorities. We obviously see massive opportunities in all of those markets, but it is incredibly encouraging to see that the solution resonates in many corners of the world. The other highlight for me personally in the first half was our inaugural user group meeting, which we hosted in Chicago in April. Always a little bit nerve-wracking to invite customers from around the world to meet each other for the first time and share their experiences about the OneView platform. But I think I can say it was an incredibly impactful session for all of us who work at the company. In particular, Seth Boxer, who's our chief medical officer, had very kindly invited one of his patients to come and talk to us about the impact that our technology had on her life. She is an incredibly impressive individual, has multiple chronic conditions. She has been in and out of healthcare facilities for most of her adult life. And to hear her her testimony as to the impact that the technology at UCSF had on her in the way that it put her in command was really impactful and really powerful for everyone who was there to hear it. Secondly, and more importantly, it was great to hear from each of our customers how the solution is impacting their business case. And you can see here some data that was very kindly shared by Epworth, who were our first enterprise customer here in Australia, around the impact our technology is having on them. And obviously, as we get more access to this data, it certainly makes the job of our salespeople that much easier. So very exciting event. It's going to be an annual event, and we expect to hear much more from them next year. So just turning to the inpatient update, as I mentioned, we are currently in project mode with the MATA, where we'll be commencing a deployment at the first of their facilities in October of this year, with full deployment expected to conclude in mid-2019. Bumrungrad International in Bangkok is a very impressive facility, and why be regarded as one of the leaders in the medical tourism business globally. We are currently in project mode there, where we're deploying across 500 beds and 110 digital signage locations. That is currently in implementation phase and will likely conclude in Q1 2019. MediClinic is a partner we've been working with for 3 years in Dubai. They're opening their new Parkview facility in Dubai in October of this year, where we, again, will be deploying at all 168 patient rooms and 144 digital signage locations at their facility. UCSF, as mentioned earlier, we've just signed the, or just agreed the contract extension for Mission Bay, which will be signed in the next couple of weeks. But we are also deploying at the Oakland Children's Hospital, at Parnassus, and at the Summit Medical Center, which are satellite sites of that customer. So again, very encouraging follow-on business. I've talked briefly about the Chris O'Brien Lifehouse, and I've also addressed NYU Langone. And then finally, we're in the concluding stages of our first swap out of our largest competitor in the United States at University Hospitals in Cleveland, where we are just completing nine hospitals and over 1,400 beds on their behalf. And that has been a very rewarding exercise for them as well. So turning now to senior living, Mark and I had the pleasure of visiting Thomas Holt's new facility in Kirrawee, just known as Flame Tree, last week. And I must say, was incredibly excited and impressed by what they've built there. It has the look and feel of a Californian hospital, to be honest, and I think seeing our technology there was incredibly exciting for our senior living business. And you'll see here that the CEO, Thomas Holt, is emphasizing how important the technology is as a competitive differentiator in the market. And we are now in contract negotiations to expand to a further 273 beds with Thomas Holt. So great to finally get our first reference site live there in senior living. And as I mentioned earlier, we had our first full-blown product launch of the senior living product in San Diego on the 14th and 16th of May at Argentum. And we have been very, very encouraged by the response from the US market. We have a very accomplished sales team in the United States who are making a very significant inroads, and we look forward to sharing more news on that in the near future. Turning to Connect, I think everyone is aware we are currently in the midst of a hospital-wide rollout for Sydney Children's, where every patient who visits now is given the opportunity to sign up to OneView Connect. We're pushing discharge summaries and care plans, fully integrated into the Cerner instance, and continue to receive very positive feedback about the solution there, continuing to see material drop in appointment no-shows. So exciting to see that progressing, exciting to see the awards that have been associated with it. The next slide, we're just talking about the upcoming steps, which include an integration with My Health Record, the ability for patients to upload documents and store them on the app, and the introduction of patient surveys. We're also awaiting the go-live of our first customer in the United States, which, as we mentioned before, is the St. Jude's Children's Hospital in Memphis, the number one ranked pediatric cancer hospital, certainly in the United States and arguably in the world. And here we are integrating into their travel and accommodation scheduling systems, and they've also asked us to integrate into a real-time wayfinding solution. It's a very large campus. It spans nearly 20 acres. So patients and their families will have the ability to see exactly where they are on the campus and where they need to get to reach their next clinical appointment. We're expecting that to go live in October of this year. Finally, on the product front, patient pathways, as I mentioned before, we have just completed development of a traditional HL7 integration for pathways. This was originally scoped as a smart on fire deployment. Oxford is still awaiting the deployment of their Cerner instance, which will accommodate Smart on Fire. And rather than be dependent on that timeline, we thought it was prudent to go ahead and develop a more traditional integration, which will allow us to turn this on at Oxford in October of this year. We had a very positive feedback from the product. It was showcased at the British Association of Urological Specialists in Liverpool in June, where we had a chance to demo the product to a further 15 NHS trusts. And there is a lot of excitement about the impact this product can have. And we're obviously very keen to get it live so that we can start measuring the impact, which will help the take up of the product across the other UK trusts. So I'm going to pause there and pass across to John, who is going to talk through the financial highlights.
Thank you, James, and good morning, everyone. Turning to the income statement on page 5 of the presentation, Reported revenues for the period are $3.71 million, representing an increase of 66% on the prior comparative period. Within revenue, non-recurring revenues increased 140%, with recurring revenues increasing 12% period on period. The recurring revenue growth rate in dollar terms is adversely affected in the period by a combination of unfavorable foreign exchange movements of the dollar or the euro against the dollar between periods. The runoff in December last of the amortization schedule, a former one-off of licenses for our first US customer, and timing of bed go-lives, with many of the beds going live back end of the current half. H2 will clearly benefit from this uptake. Our reported numbers are in accordance with, revenue numbers are in accordance with IFRS 15, the new accounting standard on revenue recognition, which became effective in January of this year. Any financial impact for the company is limited to upfront configuration fees, which are now required to be amortized over the life of the contract instead, but amounts involved are not a material part of our revenue streams. On the cost side, period end permanent headcount decreases from 178 to 150, giving rise to employment cost reductions to 8.2 million from 10.1 million, a reduction of 19% period on period. This is partially offset by an increase in contractor spend from 240,000 to 870,000 between periods, principally in the area of specialist tech resources, in particular automated test engineers. People-related salary and travel costs continue to account for the main part of our spending, being approximately 79% of total overhead. This compares to about 82% in the first half of last year. Our reported numbers include unrealized foreign exchange, in showing a modest gain in the current quarter, in the current half, versus an unrealized loss of 1.29 million in the previous corresponding quarter. Turning to the balance sheet on page 26, we report net assets of 19.5 million, underpinned by cash of 17.5 million. Included in net assets are trade receivables of 2.9 million, of which 1.6 million has been received since the period end. We present the cash flow on page 29 of the deck, and net monthly cash burn at June 2018 is 1.45 million, which continues to trend lower as sites go live throughout the remainder of the year and as overhead is contained. As earlier referred to by James, management are continuing to prudently manage costs, including recent streamlining of our management team. Thank you very much. I'll hand you back to James.
Thanks, John. So just wanted to conclude on the outlook for 2018. So a couple of points here. I think brand awareness in key markets is improving rapidly. This time, June last year, we had four live hospitals in the United States. This year, we have 14 live hospitals and are continuing to deploy at pace. That creates a much stronger base of referenceability for us, and I think it's fair to say that many of the hospitals that are going live this year had the opportunity to see the OneView solution in live at our clients this time last year. So I think there is a very strong multiplier effect there that we're about to enjoy the benefits of. To that end, we have very strong sales pipelines in both our inpatient and senior living products. We have made a very serious commitment, as you know, to reducing our hardware prices, which we saw as a key obstacle to penetration. And getting the Android hardware into the market is incredibly important. I would also say that as Google have increased their focus on enterprise healthcare, we are seeing new hardware manufacturers that are Google certified coming to market, which is going to give us choice and also continue to put downward pressure on device pricing, which I think is very, very important. As we've mentioned before, all four of our product verticals will be revenue generating this year at some capacity, but certainly in 2019, we would for the first time expect to have all four of our products making substantial revenue contributions. Our net cash burn continues to reduce. We've been very disciplined about right-sizing our cost base, reducing management overhead where appropriate. And I'd also just to acknowledge the market's frustration with the lack of new contract announcements. I totally understand that, but I would also caution that no news doesn't necessarily mean bad news. Enterprise healthcare is an extremely complex industry. It moves at its own pace and rhythm. We remain engaged with many very large enterprise customers in the United States, some of whom we've been talking to for a couple of years in some cases. And I can say for certainty that patient engagement is a strategic priority for every healthcare system in the country. There are challenges around the change management and the organizational readiness with some of our customers, but I can say for certain that our efforts to lower the cost of ownership will pay strong dividends for us in 2019 and beyond. And I just wanted to conclude with some very interesting analysis that was produced by the Beryl Institute. The Beryl Institute is a highly respected community of practice in the United States that is dedicated to improving patient experience through collaboration. And these survey results were published last month, where 91% of consumers confirmed that patient experience is either extremely important or very important to them in their overall healthcare decisions. And you can see the other data here that ratifies what we all know and believe is that we are absolutely in the right space. We see very significant institutional commitment to what we're doing. And as I say, whilst we appreciate the frustrations around the cadence of new announcements, as I say, please don't confuse that with lack of activity. So I will pause there and would be delighted, Desmond, to turn it back to you to see if there are any questions.
Certainly. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question on the phone, please press star 1 and wait for a name to be announced. If you would like to cancel your request, you can also press the pound or hash key. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 and wait for a name to be announced. We have our first questions from the line of Chris Cahill from Quest. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Can you just make some comments about the staff reduction and your ability to execute in such size with the sudden drop in numbers of people? Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. I wouldn't say it's a sudden drop in people. I think we have, we've obviously been very busy building new product, and as that product comes to fruition, obviously it frees up some capacity in the business. I do think we had a management team that was a little bit top-heavy, and we just think that it has been prudent to take the time to streamline the leadership team. So, I think we feel very comfortable that we have the resources to deliver. Very much within our expectations of where we'd like the business to be sized.
Can I ask another question?
Sure.
Just on patient pathways, it seems to have slowed a little bit, but you said it would be a substantial contributor to revenue in 19. Can we just expand on that as well?
Yeah, look, it's been slowed by the fact that Cerner have not yet deployed the Ignite APIs that would require us to deploy the Smart on Fire instance. So, as I said, rather than wait for that to happen, that's an event that's beyond our control. We wanted to be a little bit more in control of our own destiny, so we have gone ahead and built the integration the traditional way through HL7, which is how we do all of our inpatient integrations, with a view to getting that in the market in October. And as I said, I think the indications we've had, the feedback we had from the event in Liverpool, the feedback we're getting from the folks at Oxford, their commitment to documenting the ROI through a clinical study, I think is going to give us a lot of traction in that product in 2019.
Does that mean you're going without Cerner to do that?
We'll still be integrating into Cerner's existing EMR deployment. So Smart on Fire is a new way of integrating. It's designed to solve some of the interoperability challenges that plague EMRs globally. But Cerner are rolling that out initially in the United States and then selectively in other parts of the world. And we can't get clarity from them as to when the Oxford Trust will receive their upgrade. So rather than be dependent on them, we felt it was prudent to move ahead with a traditional integration.
Thank you.
Thank you for the questions. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1 and wait for a name to be announced. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1 and wait for a name to be announced.
Desmond, I think if there's no further questions, we might adjourn.
There are no further questions at this time. I'll hand it back to you, sir.
Thanks very much. And if there are further questions or if anyone on the phone would like to catch up with us, we will be here through the balance of the week and would be delighted to make the time to field any further questions. Thanks very much for your time and for your interest in OneView Healthcare.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude the conference for today. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect the lines.